A Charles Paris Mystery, A Reconstructed Corpse, by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett, starring Bill Nye as Charles. Episode 1.
It was the last night party of a site-specific performance at a derelict abattoir in Tufnell Park.
Don't you feel you've been on a real journey, Charles?
The show was a piece, the venue a space, and the aim was to challenge. You get the idea.
I could never go back to straight theatre after this, could you?
Only if I wanted to eat again.
I only get really excited when I'm being stretched.
Really?
Frances, my semi-detached wife, was staying with our daughter Juliet, so I was footloose and house-sitting.
I feel like doing something impetuous tonight.
And I was being flirted at by Zoe, an actress fueled on supermarket basics champagne. Well, I've never been that fussy about wine. Or actresses, for that matter.
If you're up for it, I've got some happy dust.
Oh. No, I'm good, thanks. I had a friend dropped a Rennie in 72 and never came back. On the other hand, he never got heartburn. Do you ever put that phone down?
I'm tweeting that I'm going to miss you.
You just told me.
I want all my followers to know what an amazing actor you are. What a funny, sexy man.
While you're at it, add available for work and open to offers.
I could make you an offer. You'll poke me, won't you?
Well, can't we start with flowers and a romantic dinner?
You're on Facebook.
Me? Never off it. I like to scream all my private conversations in public.
Sorry, guys. The man wants to lock up, so it looks like the party's over.
Ah, too early.
Oh, well, the best planned lays.
Put yourself in my hands. I'll be very gentle.
Everyone back to mine.
Okay, it wasn't strictly speaking mine. But while the cat's away, what harm in having a few friends around?
Why are all these people outside my house?
No, I think it might be my fault. I kind of tweeted there was a party.
Oh, great. Francis is going to kill me.
Francis?
Oi, can you mind the ornamental...
That's it. I'm dead. Look, Zoe, I'm not sure this is a good idea. Maybe we could reschedule.
Oh?
No, well...
It's okay, officer.
Please get back, sir.
Yeah, I live here.
I won't tell you again.
Clear the area.
Well, hey, be cool. They're only kids.
Someone get the old hippie out of here.
They aren't doing any harm apart from the ornamental planter.
Right, you're on a warning.
There's no need to get heavy.
Charles!
Oh, the thug hit me with a baton.
We're being kettled.
Leave us alone, you fascists! Ow!
Oh, they grabbed the ringleader!
Get off me, you pigs! Come on, get off!
Better search him, I reckon he's dealing.
Oh, get off!
Set me free, little girl. All you gotta do is set me free.
Well, this is a first, bailing you out of a police cell.
Actually, I was arrested in Grosvenor Square in 68. I was right
Save
next.
The battle stories. I've had a long drive back to London. Let's just get out of this place.
Sure.
What do you mean, go? Go where?
Anywhere that's not here.
I haven't got anywhere that's not here.
You should have thought of that when you were organising a rave in my house.
It was outside your house, and it was just supposed to be a few friends after the show, but there was this actress.
There always is.
No.
I've been counting the days to your male menopause.
Don't knock the mojo, baby.
Every time I leave you alone...
The police overreacted. Talk about cracking a nut with a sledgehammer.
There were 200 people in my front
I
garden.
I know you're upset about the planter, but I promise I'll get straight down the garden centre and
it's
I'll get you another...
It's not about the planter. The planter is symbolic of a deeper underlying problem in what I laughingly call our relationship.
It's not a symbol, it's a planter.
Shut up about the planter!
I'm just saying...
Shush!
What?
Shush!
Shush!
Shut up! Don't say anything. No more words. Stop talking.
Okay.
The time for talking is over. The time for leaving has arrived.
I can see you need some time to yourself.
You have no idea.
I'll give you some space.
Just go to your room, pack a bag, and leave.
Yeah.
So I did. The trouble was, where to go?
Well, I said goodbye to Rosie Rook this morning. I'm going to miss her bloodshot alcoholic eyes. She wore her Sunday hat so she'd impress me. I'm gonna carry her memory till the day I die.
Hello? sanctuary.
I don't do charity on the door. I give privately.
I bet you bloody don't.
Verbal abuse will get you nowhere.
You've made a career out of it.
I've got the police on speed dial.
It's me, Morris.
Who is this?
Me. Charles. Paris. Charles Paris.
Oh.
Can I come up? Nice place.
I never give my address to clients.
Very minimal chic.
Did Pixie tell you where I live?
No.
Then how did you find me?
I followed the money. Are they monogrammed slippers?
What do you want, Charles?
A job would be nice.
Come to the office tomorrow.
I may not be alive tomorrow.
Don't make promises you're not prepared to keep.
Do you mind if I sit down?
How much have you drunk?
A moderate amount for a man whose wife's just kicked him out.
Oh.
It'll all blow over in a day or two.
Good.
But until it does... Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
It'll just be a night.
No, Charles.
Two at the most.
No.
Whatever happens to the milk of human kindness?
It turns sour.
Oh, come on, Morris. You know, I wouldn't ask unless I was desperate.
No. This goes completely against the professional code of the agent-client relationship.
What code?
There are protocols.
I'm not applying to MI5.
Like they really need a gossip with a drink problem.
Well, it worked for Guy Burgess.
I'm not at all happy about you invading my inner sanctum.
Hello. Julian and Sandy are in the house. Come on, Morris. I'll pay.
With what?
That'll be an added incentive for you to find me a job.
Every atom of my being is screaming, don't do it.
Is that a yes?
No smoking, no boozing, and definitely no women.
Chance would be a fine thing.
Be warned, Charles. There is a very short Best Buy on this arrangement, and the clock is ticking.
Breakfast's ready, honey.
What's that smell?
I thought I'd do us both a full English.
I normally have a coffee and run.
Well, I'm not letting you out without something hot inside you.
Yeah, we can drop the Joe Orton Landlady Act. But as you've gone to the bother, pass the toast.
Yeah.
Yeah, sleep all right?
Well, it was a bit difficult getting off with all those signed photos staring down at me with their A-list teeth. I couldn't help noticing my picture was conspicuous by its absence.
Oh, why would I want a portrait when I've got the real thing snoring and scratching in my spare room?
And a very nice room it is too. I didn't know you could get suede wallpaper.
Oh, where did you get the bacon?
It was in the fridge.
No, it wasn't.
Wrapped in a fancy little bag.
What bag?
It's in the bin. If you want a tip from the cold face of the economic downturn, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the value stuff.
God, you grilled my Iberico ham.
Do you prefer it fried?
It costs £260 a kilo.
I thought there wasn't much.
I feel ill. I feel physically sick.
Oh, well, if you don't want
to. I'm going to the office. Don't even think about mulling my 62 Margot.
Will you be home for dinner? Don't I get a kiss?
As a first step towards redeeming myself with Frances, I bought a replacement planter and took it round, but she was out. Luckily, I still had my key, so I left it in the hall, then stopped off at the Drum and Monkey for a drink or three. Hi, Morris.
Where are you?
The British Library. I shouldn't really have my phone on.
Don't lie, Charles. I can smell the booze from here.
Listen, I'm sorry about this morning.
No, let's not go there. I've already maxed out my blood pressure monitor.
So will you be home for dinner?
Never mind that. I've got you a job.
You have?
Well, casting.
Still, you were very quick. I'll have to move in with you more often.
Well, the sooner you're solvent, the sooner you'll go. It's only one day's work, but it's telemoney.
Better still.
The meeting's just a formality.
I owe you one.
You owe me several.
What's the job?
Kind of police drama.
Kind of?
Sort of procedural show?
Sort of? What's it called? Based on real-life crimes, Citizen's Arrest was an unholy mixture of grand guignol and showbiz glitz, what TV execs call infotainment.
Charles Paris for Rob Garston.
I'll call up.
The show was a 21st century take on Victorian melodrama mixed with penny dreadful
gore. I've got Mr. Parrish in reception.
Paris.
Sorry?
As in France.
Your name's France?
Paris. Charles, never mind. The series was designed to frighten the living daylights out of the law-abiding public just before they turned in for the night.
Take a seat, Mr. Parrish.
Rob Garston was its main presenter, executive producer, and owner of the production company. He was assisted by a detective inspector with supermodel looks, and between them they set out to catch the bad guys and boost the ratings. Ah. Francis, hi. Did you find the planter?
You could say that.
You sound awful.
I'm just leaving the physiotherapist.
I've warned you about overexerting at the gym.
I wasn't at the gym. I tripped over a terracotta planter someone left in the middle of the hall.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think.
No change there, then. But after 30 years, I should be used to...
Ready for you, Mr. Parrish?
Paris! Sorry, Francis. I'm at a TV casting and they're calling me.
Patrick Moore looking for a stunt double?
This could be a career low even for me, but if I get it, I'd love to take you out for a really nice meal and maybe...
No! My ankle's puffed up like a balloon. I've got to go.
Francis. Oh, damn.
Look straight down the lens, please, Mr. Parrish.
Paris.
Oh. Says Parrish here.
Yeah, it says Paris in my passport.
Another bloody temp on reception.
Split the difference and call me Charles. And you are?
Oh, Angie.
Hi.
Don't suppose you've got any ibuprofen?
Sorry?
I feel like my head's exploding.
Oh, migraine.
Oh, that won't do.
Can't think why I get them.
What the hell do I pay you for if you can't even run my diary? Don't interrupt. Phone me back when it's sorted. And if it's not sorted, don't bother, because you're fired. Who's this?
Charles Paris.
The lookalike. All right, Charles. Rob Garston.
Hi.
You haven't started without me?
No.
Good. Right, let's get on with it.
Garston was one of those control freaks who can't delegate.
Right, Charles. Look straight down the lens.
Yeah.
Now turn to the right. Ah. Look, I'm assuming as you're ringing, it's good news.
Thanks a lot, Charles. We'll be in touch.
And I was back out in the street. I'll be in touch, translating as you'll never hear from us again. So I bought a bottle of scotch and headed back to Morris's to console myself.
Hey, little girl, comb your hair, fix your makeup. Soon he will open the door.
Charles.
Don't think Charles. Because there's a ring on your
Charles.
Finger. You needn't try.
I do have neighbours, you know.
Don't you want them to know I'm here?
They could hardly miss it.
I'm tired of being your little secret, Morris. I want to tell the world about us and shout it from the rooftop.
We're not an us. We're an uncivil partnership. Now, for God's sake, turn it down.
All right. Why have you never got me a musical?
That little performance should have told you. Well done, by the way. You got the part.
Citizen's arrest, you're kidding.
I never joke about money. Here, they sent over some notes about the story and your character.
Ah.
Scrutinise that while I have a shower.
My character was a property developer, Martin Earnshaw, who disappeared under suspicious circumstances. A casualty of the recession, he was heavily in debt to some highly unsavory loan sharks. There'd been threats and some strong-arm stuff, but as no body had been found, Earnshaw was still just a missing person. So far, so sordid. What really caught the public imagination was Earnshaw's wife, Chloe. The combination of grief-stricken wife with glamour model looks is TV gold and tabloid heaven. As I was the husband's age, look, and general demeanour, Chloe definitely fell into the category of trophy wife.
Happy with your part?
Well, it's not exactly Uncle Vanya.
Thank you, Morris. My pleasure, Charles.
Thank you, Morris.
I hope that's not my 25-year-old Islay.
It's my 10-quid blend.
Oh. You can pour one for me. The malt.
Why are you wearing a toweling baby grow?
It's chill-out loungewear.
The hood I can live with, but the... booties.
It's all the rage on the West Coast.
Western Superman.
L.A.
The infantilized centre of the universe.
Like you'd know. I'll bring one back for you next time.
Thanks, but I think I'll grow old with my own lack of dignity. Cheers.
Up yours.
What do you want for dinner? I'll cook.
No, we'll order in. Then you'd better get an early night. Citizen's arrest wants you in Brighton first thing. Now, do you like Nepalese?
I've always had a soft spot for Brighton. There's something about the louche atmosphere and seedy history always makes me feel at home.
You'd better go straight to makeup.
Can I go via catering?
If you hurry. They're still serving breakfast.
Fed, made up, and wearing copies of the clothes last worn by Martin Earnshaw, I was led to the location for my scene, the saloon bar of the Black Feathers.
Okay, Charles. If you could just take that corner seat over there, we'll get you a drink.
Well, this gig just gets better and better. Can you make it a scotch?
It'll have to be Guinness.
The voice came out of the shadows, but as soon as she stepped in front of the lights, I recognised her from the press cuttings.
Charles, this is Chloe Earnshaw.
Of course, Charles Paris.
I'll sort out the drink.
Chloe offered a slim little hand, but kept hold of mine just longer than necessary while her indigo eyes scanned my features.
Sorry. They said they cast someone who looked like Martin, but this is a bit weird. I mean, now I'm close to you, I can tell, but from a distance, the hair and the clothes.
Well, it must be a bit disconcerting.
The voice is the real giveaway.
Fortunately, I don't have to speak, just sit in the corner with a couple of extras.
It's all so surreal.
Well, for both of us, more for you, obviously, but I've never played a living person before.
Chloe's face twitched a flicker of a smile. The inquiry so far was for a missing person, but as the days passed, the M word loomed ever larger.
Well, let's hope this jogs someone's memory. That's why it has to be Guinness. Martin drank drinks, wine or spirits at home, but never in pubs.
Here you go, Charles. Now, if you could get in position.
Right.
While the crew faffed around, I was aware of Chloe lurking in the background. In the photos, she looked self-possessed, but in the flesh, there was a fragile air of vulnerability that made me come on all paternal. No wonder the men out there in TV land were loving her.
Anything from the trolley, sir?
I don't suppose you've got any scotch.
The bar's not open, sir.
Oh.
Tea? Coffee?
Coffee, please.
$2.50, please.
I don't want shares in the plantation. Better be good stuff.
Tea?
Hello, Charles.
How's the ankle?
A lot better, thanks.
Good, I was worried.
Really?
Of course, really. You're everything to me. Bloody lid.
What?
I'm on a train and I've just invested my life savings in a coffee, but the trolley guys arc-welded the lid on.
Been somewhere nice?
Brighton.
Lovely.
Made me think of you.
The air of faded grandeur.
Actually, it was a dirty weekend we had at the Grand.
When could we afford the Grand?
After I did the TV ad for British Beef.
Oh, the British Beef Weekend.
The British Beef Weekend. Coming back to you now?
A vague memory, mainly of the room.
I think we left it once for a walk on the front.
Gotta be 35 years ago.
It can't be.
It is, because that's where we conceived Juliet.
Really? Happy days.
We hadn't been married long.
Where do the years go?
Most of yours down the Drummond Monkey.
I'm sorry. Hey, we should celebrate.
And I'm still annoyed with you.
Come on, Francis. 35 years, that's a landmark. It's probably our paperclip anniversary.
Actually, it's Coral.
Oh, well, we ought to mark the occasion.
By me letting you move back in?
I hadn't thought of that.
No.
Obviously, I can't stay with Morris forever, but...
Morris?
Yeah.
You're staying with Morris?
Temporarily.
Oh, this is good.
No, Francis, it is not good.
Really is. I can't wait to tell Juliet.
It's not funny.
He's put a smile on my face. Has he got a spare room or are you on the sofa? No, don't tell me. I want to imagine you both in bed together like Morecambe and Wise.
Okay, you've had your fun.
The fun's only just beginning.
Please, let me come home.
We'll always have Brighton. Now, I've got to phone Juliet. You've got to get back to Morris. He'll be worried sick.
What's wrong? This damned lid.
Oh! Ah! Oh, God! It's scalding! I'm gonna need plastic surgery.
I'd seen a few TV green rooms in my time.
Can I have one more red, please?
The green room for citizen's arrest reminded me of student parties.
What's the red like?
Terrible. And such small glasses.
Hmm.
I'll stick to lager.
Wise choice. Although casually dressed, my drinking companion didn't have the air of on-trend funkiness that said media. You on the production team?
No. Oh, I work with Samantha Noakes.
Ah. D.I. Noakes was Rob Garston's on-screen partner in TV crime prevention, a senior policewoman with a face the camera loved and a body lusted after by men of a certain age all over the UK.
I'm Charles.
Greg, you part of this circus?
Sort of. I'm an actor. They booked me because I look like that missing businessman.
Martin Earnshaw, I thought you looked familiar.
Was I well cast?
Yeah, not at all bad as it goes.
Have you just come to watch?
My boss thought it might be useful for me to see how they do these things. That's him over there.
Greg raised a cynical eyebrow and nodded across at a heavy-set man in high-ranking uniform, taking up most of a corner sofa and monopolising a platter of sandwiches.
Superintendent Sawsby. He's overseeing the Earnshaw case.
So he's Mr. Big round here?
Yes, in every respect.
Is it just me, or do you find all this a bit weird?
How do you mean?
The mix of real-life crime and showbiz.
It's not exactly a cosy night in front of the telly.
And a studio audience, no offence, but who queues up in the rainy night to watch Rob Garston and a bunch of policemen try to solve crime?
It's a popular show and it gets huge ratings.
So did Public Hangings.
Are you taking part tonight?
Well, I've done my bit. Like you, I'm here out of professional interest. In truth, I'd wangled a backstage pass from Angie, partly for the free bar, partly to get away from Morris. D.S. Greg Marchmont was now staring at a 64-inch monitor which dominated the room. D.I. Noakes had finished a piece to camera, and Garston was now introducing the third member of the show's team, an ex-copper turned private investigator called...
Ed Faraday. Talk about landing on your feet, jammy bastard.
Faraday's role in the show was to challenge the police at their own game and beat them to a result. He was the smart-ass baddie on the team.
Private investigator. I wouldn't trust him to sit the right way on the lab.
No, no, Greg. We can't go dissing ex-officers, even if they were worse than bloody useless.
Sorry, sir.
You're the Earnshaw lookalike.
I suppose.
A bit of a limited field, professionally, looking like one businessman.
I am an actor the rest of the time.
Of course you are. How's that, then? Keeps you busy, does it? Or is it mostly resting and waiting?
I get by.
Good for you.
Sorry, will you excuse me?
So, what would I have seen you in, apart from pretending to be Martin Earnshaw?
I'd met men like this before, unlovable and usually unloved. Superintendent Sawsby was one of those insecure bullies who feel better about themselves when putting others down. In my experience, egocentric narcissists only enjoy one subject.
I've always thought it must be an incredible responsibility being a senior police officer.
It does take a certain type of person to handle the pressure.
And he was off. Over Sawsby's shoulder, I could see my dramatic reconstruction on the monitor. Then they cut away to Sam Noakes interviewing Chloe Earnshaw.
Sorry, Charles, could you spare a moment outside? I thought you might want to watch the last bit from the studio floor.
Thanks.
I also thought you might want to get away from Superintendent Sawsby. I could see you losing the will to live. Okay, through here and shush.
Someone out there knows what's happened to my husband. So all I can say is if you do know anything, or if tonight's programme brings back a memory, however small or insignificant, please. Please phone the police incident room. Thank you.
And I've just got time to remind you that all calls are anonymous and completely confidential. So remember, keep your eyes open, your wits about you, and together we can catch the baddies. Night-night. Sleep tight.
While Rob Garston did his audience wind-down, I spotted my drinking buddy, D.S. Greg Marchmont, on the edge of the set, having what looked like a less-than-friendly exchange with D.I. Sam Noakes.
Hello, Charles.
Oh, hi. Sorry. I was miles away. I thought you handled your piece to camera very well.
I was just pleased to get through it. I'm not very comfortable with all this attention.
I felt bad thinking it, but Chloe seemed more than comfortable in the media spotlight. In fact, she positively shone in front of the camera.
Well, let's hope it did some good. In the 21st century, I can't believe someone could just vanish into thin air.
It's quite a scrum at the stage door, so Superintendent Sawsby's asked me to sneak you out through the underground car park.
Thanks, Greg. Well, bye, Charles. I don't suppose we'll meet again.
No. I filmed my bit, so I'm finished. I hope things work out for the best.
I'm not the world's most cynical man, but I know what I am. I'm a man, and so Lola. Hello, Ellie, Lola. Hello, Ellie. Do you need the loo?
No, I do not.
Well, I'll be out in a sec.
Charles, we need to talk.
Don't tell me we're having that conversation. Are you discarding me like an unwanted toy? How could you, Morris, after everything we've been through?
Would you mind?
What?
Your bathrobe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Actually, it's your bathrobe.
Mine?
Yeah.
Right. That's going to make this a lot easier.
What?
A couple of days ago, I said a couple of days. So I really think it's time you moved on.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm on the verge of moving back in with Frances.
Does she know this?
I just need to work on her a bit more.
No, Charles, I'm sorry. But I can't wait for you and Frances to patch things up.
I understand.
Good.
But I'm out of work again, so as soon as you get me a job...
Don't use moral blackmail on me.
We're in a recession, Morris. No one's going to rent a room to an out-of-work actor, so unless you expect me to sleep in a cardboard box...
What I expect is for you not to be here when I get home this evening. Is that clear?
Clear as your Waterford crystal whiskey tumblers.
Good. Now, I'm going to work. And I'd be grateful if you put my dressing gown in the wash.
It's funny how sometimes in life, as one door closes, another door opens. Paris the Pariah speaking.
Charles?
Yeah?
It's Angie from Citizen's Arrest.
Ah.
Listen, there's been a development in the Earnshaw case. In principle, do you think you'd be available next weekend for some more filming?
Well, you'd better check with my agent.
Do you think it's a problem?
I'll tell him to block out the weekend for you.
That'll be great. Rob wants this to be our lead story now, so we need you back in Brighton for at least a couple of days.
Oh.
I'll book you in at the Pavilion Hotel.
Any chance of a double room with a view of the sea?
I'll see what I can do.
Can I ask what's happened?
I shouldn't really tell you, but in strictest confidence, the police have dug up some body parts. Oh. Looks like our missing person is now a murder inquiry.
Of course I felt sorry for poor Chloe Earnshaw. But I had a semi-functional marriage to save.
Hi, Charles.
I've been thinking about our 35th unanniversary. How do you fancy a couple of days in Brighton?
In episode one of A Reconstructed Corpse, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Frances by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Angie was Alex Rivers, Rob Garston, Adam Billington, Chloe Earnshaw, Francine Chamberlain, Greg Marchmont, Carl Prekop, Superintendent Sorsby, Gerard McDermott, Zoe, Jane Wittenshaw, and the Police Constable, Ricky Lawton. A Reconstructed Corpse was written by Jeremy Front and based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Avens.